The reading comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits here while I work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her."
Great. Thank you, Rachel. Thanks very much. And good evening and Happy New Year. It's still a Happy New Year, isn't it? We're still allowed to say that. Now we're about 8 days in. Here we are with our 2020 vision. Bit of trivia for you. Anyone know who was Herman Schnellen? Herman Schnellen, a Dutch guy in 1862 who invented the eyesight test. How about that? So when we say we've got 2020 vision, actually, we ought to be American because they measure 20 feet away from the words that you have to read, okay? You know, when they sit you in the chair and they say, "Can you read from the top of the screen?" And if I go in there, I say, "Just sorry, could you point me to the right end of the room because I can't see a screen?" But over there, they're 20 feet. Here, we are actually 6 meters. So if you want to have pretty well perfect eyesight in England, you need to be 6'6". But anyway, that's totally off the point. But I thought you might like to learn something this evening. Andrew spoke this morning about our 2020 vision with a particular emphasis on seeing churches planted. But we've also got our broad 2020 vision for planting churches and also for here at Forward. And what we're talking about tonight is some things that Jesus said that really are applicable to us right across the board. You may remember in 2019, we had the vision based on the idea of stretch. Remember that? And the elastic bands. I was very concerned about the elastic bands, I have to say. They seem to be handed out willy-nilly without any thought of the health and safety implications. And I thought, you know, imagine these young people put these things in their hands. Anything could happen. And then they might look at a diagram like that and do themselves serious harm, because that is not the way to fire an elastic band. If you do it like that with your thumb sticking up, it just goes whack into the end of your thumb. Don't do that. You've got to do it like this. You start up, but then the thumb goes down, boing, and there's Andy, straight in there. But we're looking at this vision to see church grow in all sorts of ways. Outside these walls, inside these walls. And to do that, we're asking God to continue to stretch us. So I wonder if you're stretched. Are you stretched and ready to go? Are you absolutely sort of, who should we go this time? Caroline, I think. Or are you just feeling a bit limp? Is this the way you feel as you start the beginning of this new year? Because our stretch agenda for 2020 continues through into the new year, and that's what we're looking at tonight. I don't like being called religious. Sometimes my friends say, "You're religious," and then they say, "Oh, sorry, I know you don't like being called religious, but you go to church, don't you?" And I say, that's nearly as bad. That's nearly as bad, because going to church, being a churchgoer, there's a note of sympathy there, isn't there, really? You must be somewhat dim, because who would want to go and ruin a perfectly good Sunday by spending time with weird people sitting on hard seats in a cold place while someone drones on and on? And we know that that's the vision a lot of people have of church. So few have seen church as it should be, as Jesus intended, as a place that is vibrant, alive, full of fun people and exciting things. And that's what we work so hard here at Forward, to try and show people. But you know, when people see us going to church, as they call it, they only see a fraction of us. They only see a fraction of who we are, because actually this is us. We are so much deeper. There is so much more to us. We may be seen worshipping here, but outside these gatherings, we have a life in Jesus Christ that is far, far deeper. It's potentially far more powerful. And this is the unseen area. The unseen area below the surface that God wants us to be stretching, to be reaching out for more, reaching out and growing. Whether we're called to plant or whether we're called to stay, this applies to all of us. There's a wonderful verse in Isaiah chapter 45. It says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. This is the area we're thinking about and operating in tonight, the area below the surface where there are hidden treasures and riches stored in secret places. The challenge is to stretch, not by doing more, not by doing more, but by being more. And we're going to look at three areas in which I believe that as individuals and through us right across our church ministries here, we can stretch ourselves in 2020. These are the areas we're going to be unpacking together. And we're going to do it by way of looking at things that Jesus said. The first one is this. I believe we're called to stretch in prayer, in listening, in personal worship, beneath the surface. Then I believe that we're called to stretch in faith, in believing for more. Nobody will see this. This is going on deep in those secret places. And thirdly, I believe God is calling us to stretch our desire to see God's kingdom come. So are we ready to embark on a journey of being stretched tonight? Let's see what Jesus says and does in Luke 10, the reading that Rachel read for us. It's a funny passage when you think this account of a sort of mealtime with a hassled lady preparing a meal and getting a bit stroppy with her sister. Why has that come down 2,000 years to the point where we sit and read that story tonight and take it seriously? Remember how it goes? Jesus and his disciples on their way to Jerusalem, they come to a village and Martha invites them in. And as was traditional in those days, the host would always have to prepare a meal for a visitor. And Martha is distracted by preparing this great big dinner. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And it says she's not just sitting, she's listening to what Jesus taught. So Jesus had come into this house and he was starting to unpack for them some wonderful things, deep truths, and Mary was sitting and listening. And Martha comes along and says, Lord, this is fine, but don't you think she should give me a hand? Tell her to come and help me. Look at all the things I have to do. Can't anyone give me a hand here? I bet there is not a household in this building that hasn't heard those words over the last Christmas period. But look what Jesus says, and this is the significant bit. He says, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. You're so stressed. You're stressing out, but there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Only one. Mary has discovered it, and it won't be taken away from her. You see, Mary had discovered this huge value of just simply spending time with Jesus, listening to what he had to say. And Jesus says, that's the only thing that really matters. That's the important thing that's going on here, because somebody is listening to me. And Jesus is saying, before you start trying to stretch yourself to do great big things for the kingdom, start by sitting at my feet. Start by listening to me. Start by getting to know me, says Jesus. That's far more important than trying to impress me by all your work and your effort and your organization. Jesus says it's where we all need to start. You may say to me tonight, don't talk to me about working harder. Don't talk to me about stretching. Don't tell me about stretching for God, because I am stressed out already. That may be the point at which you're entering 2020, actually needing to have a rest. You're not ready for stretching. You're ready to have a rest. And that's okay. We need to tell each other in a church like this that that is okay. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 11. He says, come to me, all those of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus talked about people who are worn out, people who are needing a break, people who have nothing left to give. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're struggling with the demands of home and work and kids and finances and exams and elderly relatives and a whole host of other things. And you're feeling, I'm not looking forward to Monday morning because it's just another part of my stressful life. And Jesus says, he says to his children, when you feel like that, look to me and I will give you rest. He says, if you can manage to just find the time to sit at my feet, and I'm not talking hours and hours, I'm just saying, turn to me, says Jesus. Give yourself a little space to listen to me and I will give you rest. And if you need to start there tonight, then feel free to do that. Because in this family of God, you know, we're called to support one another. Lovely verse in Galatians that says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We shouldn't be having people in our church who are burning out, because we as a fellowship should be looking after them. And we need to be ready to say to each other, do you know, I need to just take some time out. I need to hear what Jesus is saying to me because I'm running too fast. And that's not an easy thing to do. But if that's where you are, then that's what we need to do. We need to try and find that time to sit and be with Jesus and say, Lord, I want to claim that promise because I'm weary and heavy laden. Lord, come and give me rest. So you see, it seems there are different ends of the spectrum. There's stretching, but there's also a place for resting. And we want to be careful that stretching doesn't turn into stressing. And so curiously, the first place we need to learn to stretch ourselves is actually in this whole area of resting in God, of finding that time for personal worship, of listening to God and prayer. That's the starting point. But you know, it's so often prayer and listening to God that are the things that get squeezed. We're so busy trying to keep up with life. We're so busy trying to build the kingdom of God. So busy trying to build this church as if God needed our help anyway. And why do I know that's true? Because I'm an expert. I do it all the time. How many meetings have you been into where we get to the end of a meeting and say, oh, good heavens, is that the time? Andy, would you just pray for us? And it's the last little afterthought at the end of a meeting that should have spent time with God in prayer. Let's just learn what the Spirit is trying to tell us tonight about resting in Jesus as a starting point for everything else. But is Jesus really saying it's going to be effortless? Just resting, no need to help with the cooking or washing up ever again? No. You see, stretching ourselves in personal worship, in listening to God, in prayer, is going to challenge us because it's one of the biggest spiritual battlegrounds. You see, the devil loves to see us busy, 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 just as long as we don't sit down and spend time with God. I wonder what Jesus might be saying to you about that, in that whole continuum of resting, of stretching, and watching the stressing. Let's have a look at a second area of stretching. Jesus said very little about stretching, but he did use the word once. He used it once in Luke chapter 6. You probably know the story very well. It was a Sabbath day, and Jesus went to the synagogue, and he was teaching. And there was a man whose right hand, it said, was withered. He had a withered hand. It had just paralyzed, or whatever was the matter with us. We don't get told exactly what was the matter with it. But there he was in church. And Jesus said to this man, "Would you stand up in front of everyone?" And it's not an easy thing to do. I presume he's just a simple man and he's in the middle of a synagogue with high officials, with church leaders. But somehow he finds the courage to trust Jesus. And he stands up and walks out to the front with his left hand like this and his right hand somehow withered and twisted. And Jesus says to the man, "Stretch out your hand. Just stretch out your hand." And this hand that has been crippled and useless for years, this hand that he knew he couldn't stretch out because it was withered, yet somehow he manages to trust in Jesus, and in fear and in faith, he reaches out. And as he does so, he's healed. And Jesus never touches him. There's no sort of divine physiotherapy goes on here. This is just a man stretching out his sad little hand in faith and seeing something miraculous occur. And God calls us to stretch out in faith, however little faith we may have. He says, "Stretch it out and believe for greater things." And you know, Jesus went to a lot of trouble in various things he said to say it's not about how much faith you've got. He said, if you've got a tiny amount of faith, he said, it's not how much faith you've got. It's about having faith in a great, great God. It's about realizing that we can't grow God's kingdom ourselves. It's believing that in response to our faith, God can do that. Growing our faith that God can and will work here in amazing ways. Something else that we can stretch and grow beneath the surface. Where do we do it? It's in that unseen area. People just see us going to church, but there's so much more. And God wants us to build that life of faith in the secret places so that we can be powerful in his name, in the world we live in. And there's one more thing that we can stretch in 2020. And this is a big one. We can stretch in our desire to see God's kingdom come. I've been reading a book recently. We featured it, I think, in church a few years ago by Chris Band. It's called On My Knees. Very perceptive book about prayer. And Chris Band speaks of desire as being one of the three keys to prayer. He says there's faith, there's persistence, and there's desire. And it somehow seems to be a sort of a spiritual principle that God responds to the desire in our prayers. David, when he writes the Psalms, time and again says, "Answer me, O Lord." It's a cry from the heart. Answer me. Do you remember Hannah? That lovely lady in the Old Testament praying for a child before Samuel was born. And as she is praying, she is weeping bitterly. She's just so intense about this. It's what she wants more than anything. Elijah prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. He wanted to be able to show that example of God's power to Ahab. And he prayed earnestly. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It tells us that Jesus prayed so intensely that his sweat was like great drops of blood. God responds to the desire in our prayers. And in Mark chapter 10, we read that Jesus came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples were leaving the city, a blind man called Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus passing by, he began to shout out, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd did what they always do to poor people. They said, "Shut up." But he shouted out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And Jesus, in the middle of the crowd, stops and says, "Call him. Call him here." And so they called the blind man across. And Jesus looked at him and asked him this massive question: "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." That was the thing he wanted most in the whole world. And Jesus said, "Go. Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus down the road. But how would you, how would I tonight answer that question of Jesus? Jesus asks each one of us tonight, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want most in the whole world?" And it's important because the answer that we give to that question will determine the direction of our prayer life. It will determine our desires, the things we want most, and those will be the things that we desperately and earnestly pray about. You see, if what you want is health and comfort and safe motorway journeys and nice weather for a picnic, then that is what you will pray about. If what you desperately want is healing for someone we love who's desperately ill, then that is what we will pray earnestly about. And those are all perfectly valid things to bring to God in prayer at different times. But what if the answer from every one of the hundreds of us here at Fulwood Free Methodist Church in 2020, what if the answer was this: "Lord, above all else, our desire as a church is to see the people of Preston finding Jesus. And Lord, we're on our knees for the people in these new houses round about who are going to a lost eternity. We just want them to be saved." If that's our answer, that is what we will pray about. And that is the sort of prayer to which God will respond. And we will become a city-changing church. And maybe a nation-changing church, who knows? But dare we tonight ask God to stretch our desire so that seeing his kingdom come in the lives of lost people is the greatest desire of all our hearts. It's the thing we want more than anything else in the world. Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you." People sometimes struggle with a literal reading of that verse. Ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. But Jesus says, "Hey, remain in me. Let my words remain in you." Do you remember what Mary was doing? Do you remember where Mary was? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the things he had to say. She was getting so close that Jesus' thoughts and desires were going to become hers. And we can be stretching our desire so that we want God's kingdom to come. And we're just right in line with the will of God. So a new year, isn't it? 2020. Stretching out ahead of us. And as Andrew said before, we don't know what's going to happen this year. Whether we'll even get to the end of it, some of us. Who knows? But a new year of reaching out to God for more. Of stretching ourselves, not by doing more, but by being more. And not by doing more in the public arena, where everyone sees us busy, everyone sees us organizing, everyone sees us organizing the church bazaar and all the things that people think churches do. Because actually, the real stuff goes on unseen in the bottom half of that iceberg. And shall we ask God to help us get to work on those hidden, secret areas of our lives this year? Because that is the key to everything else we do. That's where the power lies. That is where it all starts. Those three areas: stretching in prayer, in listening, in personal worship. Can you find the time for that in your busy life? It's more important than anything you'll ever do. Stretching our faith to believe for more. Stretching in our desire to see God's kingdom come. Hidden treasure in secret places. I'm going to ask us just for a moment or two to reflect on that question of Jesus. What would you like me to do for you? And as we do that, Andrew and the band will come up, and then Andrew's going to lead us in a response time. But let's just bow our heads in the quiet, and let's just think about that question. Because Jesus says to you, what do you want me to do for you? What is the deepest and greatest desire of your heart?